You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Well, that escalated quickly. Welcome to the program, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Once again, you can watch this program on Peacock. Easy to download the app. Join us all this week. You're still going to be able to watch on YouTube.com/TheDanPatrickShow, but we make the official transition next Monday. You've been warned. Say good morning to our great radio affiliates, Chat Row, and welcome in. Stay a while. Reggie Miller will join us from the bubble coming up in a little bit. Your phone call is always welcome. Emails, tweets as well. McLevin will have a poll question. We got a play of the day. And, of course, Ethan will supply us with a great stat of the day or two. Remember when the Lakers were on the verge of, what, falling apart, being swept, being beaten, eliminated in the first round? That's a long time ago, right? They picked up the win last night. They're up 3-1, and it started out quickly, and it progressed after that. Lakers looked good, and Portland looked spent. I said this going into the series. I didn't know what Portland had left. They took game 1 and got everybody's attention. So much so, Charles Barkley said Blazers were going to sweep the Lakers. Well, if you take away the first quarter of that game in game 1, the Lakers have outplayed the Blazers. But that first quarter, and this is a problem, a pattern we've seen with the Lakers, they get behind. Well, that wasn't the case last night, because you must get out in front so you take less pressure off your bench when the role players come in. But that hasn't been the case for the Lakers. But last night, they played well, and now they're on the verge of moving on as they lead 3-1. Last night, LeBron James became the first player in the history of NBA playoffs to do the following: have at least 30 points, at least 10 assists, at least 5 rebounds, shoot 80% from the field and 80% from 3-point range, all in the same game. No one has ever done that in the history of the NBA playoffs.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
I'm waiting for somebody to spin that in a negative. Like, you can't criticize LeBron with a performance like that, can you?
Making it about himself.
Yeah, well, somebody's going to. Also, LeBron has taken part in 32 20-point playoff wins. So they've won by as many as 20 points or more. He's done that 32 times in his playoff career. That ties him with Kareem for the most all time. I don't know if they've solved all their problems, because they're good, at times great, but they're inconsistent. And if you run into a team that is far more consistent, but here's the thing. Look at the Western Conference. I don't know what you get with the Rockets. The Rockets don't know what you get with the Rockets. I'm not sure what you get with the Clippers right now. You got the Mavs thrown in there as well. Utah, if they advance past Denver. I don't know if you look at anybody right now and say, I know exactly what you're getting every single night. Dallas, I don't know what you're going to get. I don't know what you get tonight. Mavs Clippers, is Porzingis playing? Jazz Nuggets, game 5 coming up tonight. Can Donovan Mitchell do it again? But the inconsistency there is what makes the Western Conference open for business. Speaking of the Rockets, they live and die by the three. And I think they're one of the great regular season curiosities in NBA history. The problem is they're a conundrum when it comes to the postseason. And this is why you can't count on them. Last night, they started out well, played well, and then they go missing, what, 23 of 25 three-pointers at one stretch? And they're still in it because they shot almost 40% from three-point range. They took 59 threes, but I can't count on them. Love the curiosity. They're always interesting. There's always a plot, subplot with them. I think they got a coach who's a dead man walking. James Harden, now we don't even have Russell Westbrook back yet. And Oklahoma City with Chris Paul holding on to pick up that victory last night. So that series tied at 2 apiece. But you start to watch James Harden, and he only has so much energy to be able to do this. You know, I'm not asking him to play defense, although he played defense a couple of times last night, had a couple of steals. But why not give him a breather? At one point, He was hitting the front iron. If you're tired, you know, as a shooter, hitting the front iron, give him a little bit of a break. But they didn't do it, and here they are. Are they a better team than Oklahoma City? Not right now, because Westbrook's not in there. And Oklahoma City with Chris Paul, they did what they needed to do last night. And Chris Paul has played extremely well. But you're trying to figure out, you know, exactly what's going on with these playoffs. You know, the Bucks up 3-1 on the Magic. The Heat sweep the Pacers. We didn't think there would be much of a storyline with the East, and there isn't right now. But, man, I love watching the Miami Heat. And I said it a couple of days ago with what Pat Riley has done. And Eric Spoelstra is going to the Hall of Fame. Eric Spoelstra. Eric Spoelstra will be a Hall of Fame coach when it's all said and done. He will. What they've done with that Miami roster, you know, Dragic, I love. Bam Adebayo is a wonderful surprise story there. Duncan Robinson, Jimmy Butler. Like, they just have some Tyler Hero, and they make it work. And they end up sweeping the Pacers. I don't know if they're going any further than this, but they are a fun team, and they've cobbled together a roster that if I said, hey, that's going to be the Heat's roster, you're going to go, oh, they're going to be in the lottery? They're a dangerous team. They're a good team, fun team. But that was last night. Lakers rolled the Blazers up 3-1. Damian Lillard is banged up there. The 76ers made it official. They fired Brett Brown. Here's a question for you. And I was wondering about this. If you could have the 76ers job, that's open. The Nets job, that's open. Or the Pelicans job, that's open. And the Spurs job might be open, but I get the feeling if Popovich leaves, he would want to leave that to maybe Tim Duncan or Becky Hammon, the assistant coaches there, that maybe one of those two would get that job. But if you start to look at this, the 76ers job doesn't look good because of the way they went out. With Ben Simmons, I don't think they're swept by the Boston Celtics. But I'm not sure what the residue left over from this sweep is going to look like. You know, they got, it feels like they got a bloated roster as far as the salary cap. You know, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons could turn out to be Hall of Fame players. And anybody who takes over that job is probably going to want to say this. Let's keep those two together. Give me 1 year with them and let me see if I can figure this out. Tobias Harris hasn't worked out. I think he's a really good player. They overpaid for him. Al Horford, you know, if you brought him in to help your locker room, he did not do a good job. And you brought in an aging Al Horford. Celtics had to be like, yeah, go ahead, take him. Well, you're going to pay him $97 million? Yeah, go ahead, take him. You know, that's a team that needs some shooters, but that's an interesting test case there of taking over that team. The Nets, you're going to take over a team that is, you know, feisty, scrappy, but then you bring in a couple superstars in Kyrie and KD. Is Greg Popovich interested in coaching the Nets? It apparently is a real story because Sean Marks, who is the GM of the Nets, played for Popovich. Maybe you offer him a piece of the team. At least that's what I would want if I'm coming in there. And then you got New Orleans. You're going to trade Lonzo Ball. Does anybody want Lonzo Ball? You still got Zion, but I'm not sure about Zion in the race against his body. Ingram is good. Redick is on the tail end of his career. You got Hart there. I mean, you're not quite sure what you have there. So I think if you look at upside, I'm looking at the Nets because that team can win a championship. I don't think the 76ers can win a championship right now. New Orleans certainly can't. But with KD and Kyrie and the rest of that roster, that team can win a championship. But I think Jacques Vaughn probably coached himself. Well, I think they're waiting to hear from Popovich. But Jacques Vaughn got those guys to play hard. And that's exactly what you want. But who is going to be able to come in and coach Kyrie and KD? You can coach the younger players. Can you coach Kyrie?
Sorry.
Yeah. Old habits die hard. Yes, McLevin.
Sixers fan calling in here. If the Warriors offer the number two pick for Joel Embiid, do you do it?
No. Why do I want Joel Embiid on this the Golden State Warriors?
A lot of Sixers. Well, no, I'm saying, because the Warriors, actually, I read a long story on this. They like having a big man, and Embiid can shoot, and they always go unorthodox, and he might be had for a song right now.
Mm.
But they don't want Simmons. There's no way they want Simmons. Simmons would clog up everything they do.
Yeah, I don't know what Golden State wants to do with that number two pick. Because you got James Wiseman, the kid that played at Memphis for like 11 games and then got suspended the rest of the year. Do you want a 7-footer running the floor? And I'm hearing that there's a lot more hype to Wiseman than there is talent. That maybe he's in this draft, he's going to be thought of a little bit higher than he should be. It didn't take long. I did say somebody will spin this in a negative way that LeBron James just did something last night that has never been done in the history of the NBA in the playoffs. Skip Bayless tweeted, "I love watching LeBron front run against a bad team." Well, of course, Skip doesn't like LeBron, or at least he gives you the impression that he doesn't like LeBron. And so he said that LeBron was front running against a bad team last night. Apparently nobody else in the history of the NBA has ever front run like LeBron did against a bad team. In the history of the NBA playoffs, nobody's ever done what LeBron did. Yes, McLovin.
This is not a negative question, but where was this Lakers team? All of a sudden, everybody's hitting threes. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I thought they couldn't shoot before last night.
I think, well, you don't know what you're getting from those guys. Like, I have no idea if night to night when I watch. Kuzma, what am I getting? All right, I got 18. You give me 18? Great. They didn't need much last night. I want to see when they get into that half court where you have to have a design play and you're able to do that. And Anthony Davis still has to emerge as the best player on the floor if they're going to win a championship. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. You got a poll question, McLovin?
So I'm going to put up your question. Which vacant team would you like, the Nets, Sixers, Pelicans? I just looked it up. The Bulls are apparently vacant too, but we're not putting
that
on
doesn't
the
count. No, that, that doesn't
would
count.
Would we consider putting the Houston Rockets on there, or is it too early?
It's too early. They're tied at 2 games apiece. Let's see what happens the next game. Like, give me a couple of days before we put it in there.
By the way, is that talking about a tough job? Imagine trying to coach Harden and Westbrook.
Yeah, I don't want that job. Now, I love watching the Rockets play. Don't get me wrong. But I don't want James Harden as my star, and I wouldn't want to coach that team. But I do love watching them. They're fascinating. And I'm watching last night, and they just kept shooting threes, which is fine. But I got to give James Harden a little bit of a breather here. This happens every single playoff. And we even had, 4 months where they guys got rest. James Harden gets gassed in the playoffs. Happens every year. And last night, he was gassed. Yes, Paul?
I can't imagine what the Rockets' practice is like. What are they practicing on offense? Hey, Jim, run around with the ball and maybe pass it to someone once in a while? Or do they practice like him not on the floor?
I'm going to guess you just shoot free throws and shoot threes if you're James Harden, because that's basically what he does.
Rest up.
This program brought to you by the great folks at Home Depot. When it comes to flooring options for the pros, no one covers floors better than the Home Depot with everyday low prices, even bigger savings when you purchase by the pallet. The pros' best option when it comes to flooring, the Home Depot. The doers getting more done with Home Depot. Make sure you sign up. You got a few more days for the next greatpodcast.com. It's a contest that I started. I thought about this during the pandemic. Everybody's quarantined. I thought, people got ideas. You just want somebody to listen, get a chance to make your pitch. Now you have that opportunity. Send it in. Nextgreatpodcast.com. Go there, get all the details, and submit your pitch. We're going to select up to 10 semifinalists, and then we're going to give them $1,000 to produce a pilot episode. People from all over the country, thanks to iHeartRadio, are going to vote on this. And the winner, I'm going into business with you as your executive producer. Thenextgreatpodcast.com, and I hope to work with you soon. Went over some of the submissions yesterday. Great. Just, thought process here all over the world, by the way. And it doesn't have to be sports. It can be a variety of things, whatever you're interested in. And I'm going to guess we're now at 500 entries here, but all over the world. I was listening to one, a pitch from Ireland yesterday, one from Israel yesterday. So all over the world, people have been submitting. So it's really great, but there's a lot of competition. Just letting you know. I was also watching Oklahoma City last night, and I started to wonder about Chris Paul. And you start to look at Chris Paul's career. And, you know, interesting college career. Played at a smaller school, but not, you know, a big school in the ACC. And then he goes into the NBA, and, you know, you go into New Orleans. They had to play a season in Oklahoma City. He almost got traded to the Lakers. And then he's been traded a few times. You got the Clippers, you have the Rockets, and then you go to Oklahoma City. There was a lot of buzz with that Clippers team. They had the nucleus there with Blake and DeAndre Jordan, Crawford, and you had Chris Paul, yeah. So Chris Paul, and then all of a sudden he goes to Houston, then James Harden and Chris Paul have a falling out, and then he goes to Oklahoma City. What is he known for? Because he's going to be a Hall of Famer. But if I said, hey, Chris Paul, what comes to mind? He almost got traded to the Lakers. That's when the NBA was running the team. And they said David Stern nixed that deal. And he's known for TV commercials. Played for a lot of teams, high level. But what is Chris Paul known for? When you think of Chris Paul, I think of the commercials, first of all. I'll think of he had a couple of moments on the floor where he hit some couple of players below the belt, and he almost got traded to the Lakers. But it's a Hall of Fame career with no real signature moment because they never did anything in the postseason. Yeah, see?
It sounds like you're describing a compiler, Dan.
Well, I don't know what he compiled other than a lot of assists.
If you like somebody who played for a long time but has no real signature moment.
Yeah. And he's never been the best player, though. Like, Mike Trout's the best player, but he has nothing to really show for it. I mean, he's got MVPs. He's the best player in the game, but he's played, what, 3 playoff games? Yeah, McLovin.
He's been head of the union for a long time now. He's sort of become more vocal in that. It seems like that's where his interest lies to some degree.
Yeah, and I think that you go back to the ESPYs when he got up there with LeBron, D-Wade, Carmelo, and but I was just kind of curious with Chris Paul because he's a great player, but he's a point guard with a mid-range jump shot, and but he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Yeah, Paulie.
I was going back to look at those Clippers teams. He had a couple good runs where they went deep in the playoffs. Yeah. They never got to the finals, but that was the buzz. He was like the alternate version to the Lakers in town, and they had a lot of people watching them for that 3 or 4 year period. I know they're back Clippers again, but they had a good run for about 3 years.
We'll take a break here. We'll get to phone calls. We'll settle on our poll question. Reggie Miller a little bit later on. There's an interesting story going on with college football. I know there's a lot of interesting stories, but a school is going to play one game, just one game, to make sure that NFL scouts get to see their star player. We'll talk about that coming up a little bit later on. 20 after the hour. Just getting started here. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. First swing of the day on the golf simulator. Nearly jarred it. Par 3 7th at Pebble Beach. And we have a little bit of a contest going on that my cameraman, his name is Weeks, and I said, if I get a hole-in-one during the segment, is this the day I fire Weeks, then I fire him. But, you know, it's all in good fun. Yes, Paulie.
Have you ever had a hole-in-one on a real golf course?
No.
Have you hit the stick?
Yes.
Like on the fly and it bounces out or bounces away?
No, bounced up, hit the stick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was going in hot, as they like to say.
Would you rather have a hole-in-one or a 2 on a par 5?
Hole-in-one. I've been with a guy, and we were in Ireland, and he was 253 yards out at Old Head, was the name of the golf course. And I'm having the round of my life. I'm playing great. This guy is terrible. And he gets up from 253, and he makes it. So this is a par five. He's 253 out.
And he made it in?
Yes. Second shot, made it in.
But isn't that more, not more impressive? I guess it may be more, because a joker like me could hit a 150 par three and maybe get lucky.
Yeah.
But I can't hit a 260 second shot.
No. It's a tougher shot, but people want to know about a hole-in-one, not an albatross. Like, hey, I had an albatross today. Oh, okay, what's that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I had a hole-in-one. No kidding. Yeah, see.
That's crazy, though.
Yeah, 253. I go up on the green, so I hit my second shot into the greenside bunker, and you know, I'm thinking I'm going to get up and down, and I'm going to post a pretty good number here. And we can't find Bad Larry's ball. And he goes, I know I hit it right at the hole. I'm thinking, this guy isn't any good. He can't hit it straight. Next thing, he walks up. I said, well, check the hole, Larry. He walks up and he goes, I made it. Pulls the golf ball out, 253. And then he goes into the pro shop at the very end, and he wanted to know if he could get a plaque and that they would put out on the golf course. He said, no. Yeah. Not going to get the plaque. All right, McLovin, what's the poll question you have?
So we have up, which vacancy would you want? The choices being the Nets, Sixers, and Pelicans. Actually, the Pelicans are taking an earlier lead.
Yeah, I would want the Nets because I got a chance to win a championship.
I have a side poll topic.
Okay.
Pre-show debate. What is the most watchable team in the Eastern Conference of the NBA playoffs? I felt like you were selling the Heat to me. I felt like that was a bit of a sell job because the Heat Pacers came on last night and I could not have turned the channel faster.
I like it because of our boy Duncan Robinson. You know, great story there. One of the great shooters in the NBA. Jimmy Butler's a really good player. Bam Adebayo has developed. I mean, he's an all-star. You know, they're fun to watch. And Goran Dragic, I love watching him as well. I don't know if Kelly Olynyk is going to make you tune in.
He would for me.
Yeah, because you love his hair. The Bucks, see, the Bucks are telling, the NBA is telling you just how interested people are in the Bucks. They put them on as the early game. Now, they're facing Orlando, but still, I get the feeling if Luka was playing against Orlando, they would somehow find prime time with Luka. Giannis is a great player, best player, the MVP, but he's not tune-in worthy. And you know by where your team is positioned or where they put these games, the Lakers are always going to be a factor, ratings-wise. The Raptors, not tune-in factor, but a great team when you do watch. I mean, if you love basketball, you'll love what the Raptors do because they got a great coach, and that's a really good team. Celtics are always fascinating because of Tatum and Brown, Kemba Walker. If they had Gordon Hayward, I'd probably go Celtics, Raptors, Heat, Bucks. Bucks aren't exciting. It's just you can be good and you can be exciting because the Raptors are really good. Spurs were always really good. They just weren't exciting. Yeah, McLovin.
But don't you think a Bucks-Lakers finals would do good because people can make a Giannis-LeBron passing the torch narrative?
In the finals, yes, but not the rest of the process here. Oh, I said the process. Sorry.
Too soon.
Yeah, I know.
Too soon.
I see where some of these NBA writers who follow the Sixers saying, hey, the process worked. I'm like, okay. Tell that to Brett Brown, because he doesn't have a job today.
Okay.
Oh, here we go.
But everybody's ripping the process. They fired the guy who thought of the process and brought in the most conventional anti-process guy in the history of the world in Brian Colangelo, who screwed up everything.
Okay, but if the process was working, why did you fire the GM who came up with the process?
Because the media got too upset about the losses and they didn't let him even get halfway through his project. They cut it like if you were having a contractor build a house, like
so Sam Hinkie got fired because the media got impatient. They wanted victories.
The owners got really upset about the public reaction and got soft. That's exactly what happened. They should have fired him, and Colangelo did an awful job.
How did Jahlil Okafor work out?
Okay.
How did Michael Carter Williams, how did
Nerlens
Noel?
Everybody in this room thought Okafor was a good pick, and everyone thought he was awesome as a rookie. The dude had amazing skills. They just didn't know that he had a character issue.
It doesn't matter what we think. I don't think that it matters what Fritzy thinks of Jahlil Okafor.
Hey.
It's what the NBA thinks of Jahlil Okafor.
Okafor was not a bad pick. It was just one of those things that happens. That's why with the process, you get a lot of opportunities. And Nerlens Noel, he went sixth. He's still in the NBA. That was the Anthony Bennett draft.
Marvin Williams is still in the NBA.
I'm telling you, the process was set up for success. And it's...
They never should have fired Sam Hinkie.
No.
Because then Brian Colangelo wouldn't have come in and screwed up the Jason Tatum situation.
I know. And Elton Brand probably shouldn't have paid Al Horford. Just stop calling the Celtics. That's our number one problem.
Yes.
We should do nothing with
it. There are certain teams... Like, I can't imagine ever calling Jerry West when he was the GM. Or if Jerry West called me, I'm not taking the call. I would just go, this isn't going to work out well for us because it's Jerry West. Like Red Auerbach, who's probably the smartest guy in NBA history. And, you know, he would just fleece people. Hey, thinking about giving you Joe Barry Carroll. Could we get a couple of draft picks for him? Yeah, we're going to turn that into, we'll get Robert Parrish in return and draft Kevin McHale. How did that work out? They swindled the St. Louis Hawks, I think, for a couple of players, too, back in the day. Yeah, Seton.
The process might be the most overhyped, overblown failure in the history of sports.
Whoa!
Like, think of how much coverage and how much people talk about the process. And what about the process? It stunk. It did nothing.
Just tanking work.
You could just as easily call it a series of crappy draft picks over the course of 8 years.
Doesn't have the same ring to it, though. Yes, McLovin.
But Embiid was a good draft pick. That was really smart. He only had to sit out a year, and he fell to three because everyone thought he was hurt. He would have gone one.
Yeah. But the topic right now is, should the Sixers get rid of him? So how good of a draft pick was it? It's another high draft pick that now they want to get rid of. Now you're stuck with the new coach is stuck with them.
Hinkie revolutionized the NBA. Now 30 teams think like him. I mean, and Mark Cuban said it. The second we were eliminated from the playoffs, we started tanking. You know, it's the way the NBA works now because of him.
But does it work?
Oh, well, yeah, of course it works. I mean, the Spurs tanked to get Duncan. I mean, it's the only way
the Spurs didn't tank. David Robinson got hurt.
Yeah, and then they started pulling their starters at the end of the year. Like, I'm telling you.
But that's a little bit different than we have a game plan that's, hey, David, we want you to get hurt, and then we get a chance to get Tim Duncan. Their odds were long to get Tim Duncan. The Celtics, Rick Pitino was banking his entire NBA career off Tim Duncan.
Wait, did the Cavs tank a little bit to get LeBron?
They absolutely did. That's the time it worked.
It's the only way to build a champion in the NBA. I'm sure the Lakers tanked to get Magic. That was a trade.
Yeah, it was
but
a trade.
In the history of NBA, the only way to get a championship is to get a transformational player. And how do you do that without the number one pick?
Well, it doesn't always work.
No.
Like the Mavs didn't have the number one pick. And they got Luka Doncic. You see how stupid guys can be?
But they fell to
one. I mean, Giannis wasn't a top five pick. Wasn't a top 10 pick. Kawhi wasn't a top 10 pick. So they didn't tank. So three of the best players in the NBA.
And Curry was six.
Yeah.
Generally, though, and if you look at the history of the NBA, it's these Kareem and LeBron types that win you titles.
I just don't know if you go in and you say we're going to lose on purpose, that you can really shed that. Like it's a sweater that it's like when you wear a sweater in Florida. It's like it's just on you, you know, and you just go, I can't get rid of it. Because it still permeates. It's there. I don't know. There's just something there about the Sixers that the process still had some leftover fumes there. Yes, yeah,
I'm reading an article from Sports Illustrated, right? And it says, the process itself is Hinkie's plan to find the best way to acquire top talent for the team by getting as many assets, draft picks, young players, players with trade and team-friendly contracts as possible, and using them to bring in superstar players.
Mm-hmm.
What superstar did they ever bring in? They have like a series of super high draft picks that you thought were going to be superstars. I don't remember any monster trade they brought in to bring in a huge superstar.
They brought in Butler, who is pretty awesome, but he's not a superstar. He's a max guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider Jimmy Butler a superstar.
I mean, if that's what the process was, then what are we even talking about?
And the process was to get, you know, high draft picks and make sure that you hit on a few of those high draft picks. But they weren't getting free agents who wanted to go there. I mean, Tobias Harris and then, you know, Al Horford.
I mean, it just seems like a funny, like, either this SI column is just misinterpreted what the process was, if it was get a lot of high draft picks and hope that they're superstars, or was it to trade all of the, get as many assets as possible to bring in superstars?
Yeah, Paul.
You could say it's the odds. If you have enough top five picks, you should get a couple superstars. It's almost like the Arizona Cardinals taking another quarterback. Josh Rosen didn't work out. Okay, we can't afford to not take another quarterback. And Kyler Murray, people critiqued taking him, but if he works out, it was worth taking another one. They didn't tank to do it, but it was just it fell in their lap.
Yeah, McLovin gets all sensitive. It's okay. I mean, I thought you moved on from the Sixers. You're a Bucks fan.
I don't know about my Bucks anymore. I'm kind of looking for a new bandwagon.
They sent you all that gear. You're not jumping on the Luka bandwagon. Don't even think about it.
I don't know. I kind of like Seth Curry.
No. No. Oh, Seth Curry. Stop.
Seth Curry is awesome.
I know.
Fred VanVleet is also the MVP of the league. Wait till he gets into the second round.
Is Seth Curry a better shooter than Steph Curry?
Wow.
Statistically, he is. He just has a lot less attempts than his brother does. Yes, McLeod.
I have a player comp for Ben Simmons that I've been holding on to.
Okay, hold on to that. And let me get to Connor in Pennsylvania. He wants to talk about the Sixers process here. Hey, Connor.
Hey, Dan. 6 foot, 185. Just wanted to point out that Sam Hinkie was not fired. He resigned because the Sixers had hired Jerry Colangelo after Adam Silver had interfered after, you know, the public backlashes. McLovin had pointed out the media backlash. They had hired Jerry, and Jerry brought in Brian as some sort of role, and Hinkie resigned. So it was kind of letting you know the legs cut out from under him.
Well, that's one of those resign, but hint, you should resign before we fire you. Thank you, Connor. And Hinkie sent in a 13-page resignation letter as well. He was even thorough in his resignation letter as the GM. 13-page resignation letter. But he was not going to keep that job if Jerry was bringing in Brian and running the team there. All right, we'll take a break here. And I'm not sure what to believe with this Popovich story. I want to ask Reggie Miller a little bit later on. You know, Popovich, it just feels like San Antonio is his personality. There's certain players, certain coaches that fit. Like Pat Riley fit Los Angeles. Just did. Greg Popovich, it just feels like he fits into San Antonio. There are certain coaches, like Phil Jackson in Los Angeles, didn't feel the same way it did and when Riles was there. But Phil in Chicago, you know, because Phil's a pretty, you know, simple guy from the standpoint of doesn't seem like he needs bells and whistles there and glamour and all of that, even though he was dating Jeannie Buss. And he's from North Dakota. You know, his parents were ministers, I think. So it just felt like he was comfortable in Chicago. At least I got that impression. There's certain coaches, certain managers that you just feel like that's where they belong. Like Lombardi. Could you see Lombardi with the LA Rams or the Dallas Cowboys? He's Green Bay. We're going to run it. We're going to run the sweep. You can take a break here. Play of the day coming up next year on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play is called play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
Check this out.
Albert pulls this one to the left field. There it is. He passes Alex Rodriguez with that single. A little bit of a bobble there by Tucker. Rendon will take third.
Congrats on that one, Albert. Second all-time now by himself.
Albert Pujols, number two on the list. 210 RBIs behind Hank Aaron for number one on that list all time. Babe Ruth is technically ahead of Albert, but RBIs didn't become an official stat until 1920. His RBIs for 6 years prior to 1920 don't count towards that list, or Babe Ruth would have the all-time record for RBIs. I don't know why they can't go back and just go, how about we total up, though they have box scores, that they just total up those RBIs. It's like sack totals didn't come into the NFL as an official stat till 1982, I think. I would think all the archival footage that the Sables shot for NFL films, you could go back and go, eh, why don't we tabulate this? Because I think you're going to find some people are going to have a lot of stats as far as sacks goes that would move them up the list. You might even get guys who could get into the Hall of Fame if you think about it. You know, Deacon Jones would probably be the all-time sack leader, but I'm sure there are a few other players that probably are being cheated out of quite a few sacks. You have the opportunity to be able to go back and do that, then why wouldn't you do that? Certainly with baseball. Baseball loves its stats. Why wouldn't you go back and go, on second thought, Babe Ruth had 550 more RBIs here. Play of the day brought to you by the Home Depot. When it comes to flooring options for the pro, no one covers the floors better than the Home Depot does. With everyday low prices, even bigger savings when you purchase by the pallet, the pro's best option when it comes to flooring. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. I saw a video yesterday. By the way, the Albert Pujols RBI audio is brought to you by Fox Sports West. If you watch before Luka Doncic hits the game-winning shot, there's a huddle that the Mavericks are holding. Now, Luka is doing the bottle flip. So he's on the edge of the huddle. He's not even listening what's going on. If he misses the shot, do we then go, he wasn't even paying attention to his coach? Or imagine another player who did that, not listening and trying to flip a bottle outside the huddle. And then Luka, of course, you know, the end result, you know, you're fine with everything. Well, he's so calm. Look at him. He's trying to do the bottle flip game. He's a cool customer. If LeBron was doing that, we'd be like, look at him. He's tuned out Coach Vogel. If he missed it, oh my God. That's why I laugh when we pick and choose who we criticize and who we praise. Yes, McLovin.
Is this a little like when Tom Brady took a nap before the first Super Bowl win over the Rams? Do you remember that story? He fell asleep 2 hours before the game.
Yeah, but I don't think that that's rare.
Well, it just shows how cool. I would be freaking out. Like I'm saying, like, these guys are kind of like, if I, you know, he didn't look nervous at all. I think the average athlete gets nervous in those situations.
Yeah, maybe. I think Luka realized, hey, I'm getting the ball. So I don't know if it was a great mystery where he goes, so what's the play again? How am I getting the ball? You basically just jab step and then you come out and you get the ball and then we clear out. Okay. So then he goes back to flipping his bottle there. Yeah, Paul.
Imagine if the coach, just to play a joke on Luka, say, all right, Luka, you're going to be a decoy when you get the ball to Hardaway for the last shot. What? Puts a bottle down. Wait, hold on.
It'd be like Hoosiers.
Yeah.
Hoosiers. Where,
yeah, going to get to Merle.
Yeah.
Merle.
Yeah.
Get to Jimmy Chitwood.
Jimmy wanted the ball. Yes, McLovin.
Well, remember Scottie Pippen and Tony Kukoc. Ooh. Like, you don't want that to happen.
No. No, you don't. LeBron is, I know, we're drunk with LeBron stats today. If the Lakers make the NBA Finals, LeBron should become the all-time leader in playoff games played. He will pass Robert Horry, Tim Duncan, and Derek Fisher. He's played 243 playoff games. That's three seasons of basketball and 35 years of age. But also, you should, you know, the stat has to be modified for the modern era because Bill Russell and some of these other players who were playing back in the 60s and 70s, they didn't have as many rounds to go through. Now, you can say that helped them also in maybe winning championships, but you didn't have to go through as many series as these guys do now. But LeBron at 35. Michael Jordan, by the way, played in 179 playoff games. There was a moment last night, and, you know, the Lakers had their Kobe Bryant, their Mamba jerseys on. And when I was watching, I had the sound down, and I was watching, and I saw where it was 24-8. And I just thought, how poetic that on 8-24, they're celebrating Kobe, and the score was 24-8. And not that the game was in doubt. I mean, they were down. Portland was down 24 when Damian Lillard hit his first shot. But that'll give you an idea of that team on fumes. It takes a lot out of you every single night that you're the guy, you're the man. And Lillard had one of the great postseason runs we've ever seen. But it's going to be all for naught. You know, down 3-1, and they looked tired last night. And I'll give the Lakers credit. They had energy from the beginning, and they didn't fall behind, which is so important for that team and that second unit that comes in. I mentioned this story about a college is going to play one football game this year. That's it. And it's North Dakota State. They're going to play Central Arkansas. One game. And the reason why they're doing this is they want to showcase their quarterback, Trey Lance. They want, because he's going to be a top 15 pick. At least that's the appearance he's going to be a top 15, maybe even higher than that. But this is called a showcase game for their quarterback because they're not going to play any other games. And because they're going to play one game, they get to practice 20 hours a week instead of 12 hours a week. And all they're doing is showcasing Trey Lance, who last year threw 28 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and North Dakota State ended up winning the championship. October 3rd, North Dakota State will host Central Arkansas at the Fargo Dome. Yeah, Todd?
Isn't that risky? What if he has an off game for some reason? And even if he has a great game, it's Central Arkansas. So I'm not sure what you accomplish in this one game against Central Arkansas.
I feel like it's a pro day that's actually a game. But you're right. You know, you want to showcase him for one game. You expect him to light up Central Arkansas. Central Arkansas has been a good team. They've made the playoffs a couple of times, FCS. But, you know, I studied the roster there.
Nice.
Yeah. I got some game footage here of Central Arkansas. Scottie Pippen sent it to me, you know, Central Arkansas guy. But yeah, you do run that risk. Jordan Palmer, who's considered the quarterback whisperer for these young quarterbacks, is going to join us coming up. I'm going to ask him just how good this kid Trey Lance is. Now, I watched him. You know, the stats are crazy. He can run. He's the perfect quarterback as far as what his skill set is. Yes, Paulie?
He had 28 touchdowns and 0 picks.
Yep. That's good.
Only downhill from there.
Yep, I know. As soon as he throws that first pick, oh, I knew it. All right, so Reggie Miller will also join us from the bubble. Oh, I'm hearing from Chris Paul fans. Hey, say something nice about Chris Paul. I have been. I just said, what is the signature moment of his career? That's all.